We're starting with the issue of rural planning guidelines now, though, because the Cabinet this morning is set to sign off on the plan to make it easier for locals to build homes in their own areas. The new plan, and there's a lot of details still to come on it, but from what we know now, it tells local authorities that they're no longer need to be over-prescriptive about rural housing rules. The new planning statement, a big overhaul. The new rules will no longer allow local authorities to impose restrictions on ribbon and backland development or put caps on the number of homes that may be built on a farm. Local authorities should not include overly restrictive rural housing rules in their development plans, according to the plan, and each application for a house in rural Ireland should be considered on its own merits. It also advises councils against setting prescriptive rules, such as fixing the limits on how many houses can be built in one area. Minimum road frontage requirements are set to be scrapped, as are minimum site sizes for new houses to be built. And the policy also says local plans should not set fixed definitions of who counts as a farmer or indeed what a farm is. And rural homeowners will also be allowed to build a second one-off house on their land to facilitate downsizing under new guidelines. And that's been a particular problem in all areas, really, in terms of trying to find an appropriate home for the size of your house, or trying to move a family in and your family, maybe younger family members, into the bigger house while you move into a smaller house on the same land. So that's just an element of the sweeping changes that will be brought in. Shortly before coming in here and before she went into Cabinet, I spoke to Minister for Children, Norma Foley, Kerry TD for Fianna Fáil as well, and first of all asked her to outline exactly what's changing today.
Yeah, that's correct, Gerry. The draft National Planning Statement is before Cabinet today. It's the first time in 21 years, in actual fact, that we say the rural planning guidelines are being updated. It's really, really important. I think for those of us who live in rural Ireland, for those of us who love rural Ireland, we want to see rural Ireland thrive, to be a place where people want to live, more importantly, where people can live and work and enjoy it. And we know there have been just so many problems over the last number of years. So basically, this is an opportunity to address issues like rural depopulation and give opportunities for people who have connections to rural Ireland to be able to build and to live there. So government will be introducing initiatives like, for example, if you can show a local need to live in a rural area, then that local need should be met. And the local need really covers two specific areas. So if you have a social need, that would be if you have strong ties to an area. So, for example, if you grew up in an area, if you've lived in an area for a certain number of years, and it doesn't have to be a consecutive number of years, but it could have been. It could have been when you were a child, or it could have been at different times in your life. That's, a social need. You are part of that area. There's also if you could show an economic need, for example, if you are working in an area, if you, for example, whether you're farming or as equine or forestry or whatever, if you're an essential worker in a rural area, you should be entitled to live and work in that area. So there's a number of criteria. The other one as well, which I was particularly keen on, is that if you have a business that serves a rural area, or if you are about to set up a business that will serve a rural area, that's a connection to a rural area. So it's really, really important that rural Ireland gets the opportunity for people to live, to work and to thrive there. So that's what this draft National Planning Statement is all about.
OK, and for Gaelic areas then, there's going to be a language connection, I understand. You'll only have to be in an area for 5 years if you speak Irish versus 10 years otherwise. And you can also move between Gaelic areas and get planning.
That's right. And it's really, really important. Again, it's a recognition of the importance of the Irish language, the need to grow it and to allow it to flourish with the community of speakers. So there is an opportunity, as you said, if you have lived and grown up in one Gaeltacht area, you can bring that experience, if you like, if you want to move to a different Gaeltacht area. But there's also, I suppose, other initiatives there as well. For example, if a developer is going to build in a Gaeltacht area and he builds more than two houses, he will also have to have a linguistic integration statement where he shows that those who will live in this area will be of the Irish language. And that's really, really important. So it's recognising the importance of supporting, the Gaeltacht area to continue to thrive.
OK. Rural homeowners will also be allowed to build a second one-off house on their land if they're facilitating downsizing under the new guidelines.
Yes, or if, for example, there is a medical need, or, you know, oftentimes that can be an issue for, you know, for people, they have a particular medical need or a particular requirement. Or, as you say, if a family are downsizing and we say younger members of the family are moving into the house or whatever, it's a recognition really of, I suppose, family needs, of complexities of families, and indeed the complexity of life. So I suppose that recognition of flexibility is also transferred to the local authorities as well. And I think this is really important. Local authorities will be given a flexibility to recognise, you know, I already referenced things like a social need or economic need. You know, there's a recognition in this draft statement that no two areas are the same. And a local authority may recognise that the individual needs of a family in an individual area can be very individual. So they have flexibility there as well. There's two other very significant things as well. You know, there's now no longer going to be a fixed limit on the number of houses, the minimum road frontage requirements, or the minimum site sizes. So, for example, where services are in place or where services exist, there won't be restrictions on things like, you know, oftentimes the local authority will say it's an infill site. In other words, you know, it's building on land between existing homes. Well, yeah. If there's services there, that will be allowed. Or they would dismiss an application, they'd call it a backland development. That's because you'd be building, you know, behind an existing house. Well, if there's a service there, you should be allowed to do that. And also, for example, things like, you know, where they talk about ribbon development, certain number of houses, if there are services there, that should be allowed. So okay, it's a huge flexibility for rural Ireland.
What would you say then to the concerns that some have, including the planning association, that this could lead to a free-for-all, that we'd have houses built everywhere, no real rules, too lax, too much of a relaxation?
No, I don't accept that at all. Like, I mean, you know, planning guidelines are planning guidelines, and they'll have to be interpreted, and you'll have to abide by rules. And there will, obviously, there are restrictions. There are always restrictions, but there is a flexibility. Listen, I think it's not before time, and I've been pursuing this really since I've had my place at the cabinet table, to recognise that people have a right to live in rural Ireland. People have a right to build in rural Ireland, and rural Ireland has a right to thrive. And we have seen issues around depopulation impact our schools. We've seen it impact our sporting organisations. For example, I want to recognise, you know, the GAA locally in Kerry done a fantastic piece of work around the impact of depopulation and sporting organisations. But it's more than that. It impacts our standard of living. It impacts the services that are available in rural Ireland. So this is about recognising the equality and rights of people to live and thrive in rural Ireland. And there will obviously be implications in terms of how you can build and where you can build, but there's a flexibility now that recognises the importance of rural Ireland.
Okay, and you're handing it over to local authorities to make that definition in their own particular area. This is going to take quite a while before it comes in. If you're talking about legislation, you're talking about public consultation, going through it all, that's about a year and a half. And then maybe 3 years before we see any real physical changes in buildings being built on the ground. Are you conscious of that, that this is going to take a couple of years before it has an impact?
Well, I suppose, to be fair, we'd have to say that, you know, we could either sit in our hands and do nothing at all, okay, right, or be proactive and do something. And this is a proactive step with local authorities. And look, I accept there will have to be consultation around this. There's particular environmental consultation that will have to take place and all of that. But in terms of it making its way through the Dáil or any other expedient measures that need to be taken, this is a top priority for government. We will move it as quickly as possible, notwithstanding the need for the consultation that is required, but it will be given a priority in terms of advancing it as quickly as possible.
Okay, what do you say to the Minister on the concerns of people? Have we already have one of the most dispersed, you know, decentralised populations in Europe, and it's one of the reasons why things cost so much in Ireland, delivering all those services out to particular areas and rural areas. Our electricity network is an example as well. It's going to cost billions to upgrade that. One of the reasons is because we're so dispersed in the country, that this will only add to that and add to those sort of costs, even aside from the environmental concerns.
No, I don't agree. I think this is a matter of choice for people. It's a matter of respecting people's heritage and background and where they grew up. And it's also acknowledging the rights of people to live in rural Ireland. And we have seen over the last number of years quite considerably how difficult it is for rural Ireland to thrive because people can't live there. They can't get planning permission. You know, there are young people who want to, maybe they've moved away from home, they want to return home. Oftentimes they want to return home because they want to care for their older family members, or they want their children to grow up, I suppose, within the warm embrace of their grandparents or whatever the case might be. Rural Ireland has that right. And rural Ireland deserves that right. And, you know, if there's additionality required in terms of additional services, so be it. I think the priority needs to be given to rural Ireland because it's a reflection of who we are. Some of the most vibrant and fantastic communities we have and local communities we have come from rural Ireland. But the vibrancy of those communities has been challenged over the last number of years. I've seen it all the time myself in terms of education and schools and small schools and the difficulties in terms of families getting planning so that they can, you know, live in a rural area and then, you know, avail of small schools and so on and so forth. This will address all of that. It's about equality of opportunity for people in rural Ireland.
With that in mind, how do you ensure and what do you say to the concerns that this will lead to some people, let's say, in some rural areas in Meath and Kildare, areas in the East Coast that already is overpopulated, building trophy houses outside of towns, whereas not enough might happen on the West Coast where people are really need, you know, population, depopulation is an issue where you want those houses to build. This might open the door for wealthier individuals and in eastern counties under the influence of Dublin to build these type of houses.
Well, I don't know about the trophy houses insofar as there are still going to be, you know, planning implications. There's still going to be...
But the question is, will this open the door for them where they would have been refused before to get around the guidelines if they're loosened, is the point?
No, I don't think... Like, there are still requirements here. You know, as I say, you must show that you have a local need. You must show that you have a social need or a social commitment to the area, that you lived there, you were part of it or whatever, or that you have an economic need in an area. There are still requirements that need to be met. You must really have an investment in rural Ireland. You must be of rural Ireland or for rural Ireland for this to work. So, you know, there isn't a free for all here. There's still standards that have to be applied. There are still measures that you have to meet, obligations and requirements that you have to fulfill. But there is a flexibility around it. There is a loosening of it because up to this point, Jerry, I can tell you one of the single biggest issues that comes to me as a local representative is the difficulty that young families have to build homes in the area that they grew up in.
Yeah. OK, Mr. Finally and briefly, you're expected to sign off today on a decision to extend the current excise reductions of petrol and diesel until the 1st of September.
That's correct. And that will be a package in and around just short of €300 million. And it will be petered off over time, recognizing, OK, that I suppose we're also seeing, you know, prices coming down, but also recognizing, too, I suppose that it's a volatile market. You know, we just don't know what is going to happen into the future. So it allows, I suppose, given that there are four different dates being proposed, it allows flexibility to reflect at any given time on where we stand. Government did step in quite considerably in terms of the multi-million euro investment that was provided at a time that, you know, the fuel supports were required, recognising now that there will be no cliff edge, no determination for just a complete cut-off, that it will be over time, but also within that over time, opportunities for us to pause and reflect at any given time should circumstances change. One other very quick point. Yes. Later today, I'm launching the VAT9 measure with the Tánaiste. I'm launching that on behalf of government. And the VAT9 intervention is a really, really important intervention for County Kerry. We know from a tourism point of view, you know, huge, huge number of jobs in Kerry are dependent on tourism. This is a very significant measure, really, I suppose, more than 80% of all of the businesses in the tourism sector are small to medium sized, often family run businesses. So the VAT9 intervention is really, really important. And again, something that I have advocated for since I have sat at the cabinet table. So I'm really pleased to be launching it today on behalf of government for the benefit of counties like Kerry and counties right across the country.
OK, Minister Norma Foley, thanks very much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you.
That's Minister Norma Foley with her views on those issues, particularly the rural planning guidelines. They're draft guidelines. They'll go out to public consultation. There'll be legislation to be passed as well after that, making those changes. So it'll be a while yet before this has an impact on the ground. as I said. But if you have a view on it, what do you think? Good or bad idea? Now, as we were talking about the start of the programme, the new rural housing draft guidelines, rural and Gaeltacht one-off draft guidelines, are being published today by the Minister for Housing. The new planning statement has been described as the biggest overhaul of rural housing rules in two decades, 21 years, and it will be designed to make it easier for families to build one-off homes in their locality. With me on the line to talk about this is Deputy Michael Healy-Ray, Independent Deputy. Deputy Healy-Ray, good morning to you. Something you've been looking for quite some time, and obviously something you're welcoming once we get the full details.
Well, yes, Jerry, and the one thing that I'd like to make very clear, this is something that not only I, but indeed if we were to look at our own local authority, Kerry County Council, I'm sure that the very vast majority of councillors locally in County Kerry would welcome this draft national planning statement. But after the last election, the one thing that I want to do is I want to give recognition today to two people in particular, and that is Minister James Brown and Minister John Cummins. And I want to explain why. After this government being formed, in the many meetings that myself and my son Jackie had with these two ministers, the one thing that I saw from the two of them was a complete openness and understanding of the difficulties that we have in rural Ireland in obtaining planning permissions, whether it's in our Gaeltacht areas, whether it's the issues, we'll say, on our national roads, getting entrances onto the roads. They readily recognise, these two ministers, that we have a housing crisis. But when you have young people, Jerry, and you know this yourself, and if they have land available to them, it's only common sense, if they have the wherewithal, that provided they are given planning permission, that they are able to come along and afford to provide their own accommodation for themselves. Every encouragement in the world should be given to those people. And unfortunately, the rules and regulations that have been there nationally in the past have tied the hands of our planners. Now, of course, there's a greater clarity to be given in over the coming months and years. And I indeed heard you say a very important point, which you made yourself, Jerry, because I'm already getting people ringing me and saying, well, my son or daughter or myself, for example, the people that would be ringing, they'd be saying, well, will we get sorted now because we were refused last month or last year or 5 years ago? Will we get sorted now right away? And you rightly pointed out, Jerry, that there is going to be a delay in this, because while the two ministers desperately want to make the amendments and get the draft national planning statement out there, let it go through the public consultation period, let everybody have their say, and eventually bring it in that we have a national legislation which will guide our local planners. Because at the end of the day, sometimes our local planners get blamed for refusing planning permissions. But at the end of the day, they are only implementing the guidelines that are given to them from here. So that's why it is so important that we clearly send out a message that young people or any person that wants to live in a rural area, that it is going to be freed up. And it's not, because I know there will be critics of this, because yeah, I've often had people
saying it's a free-for-all and bad planning and bad development, yes, in rural Ireland.
But you see, Jerry, the three rules will always be there at the same time. Number one, the planning itself, will the house integrate into the locality? That's number one. Number two, the site's assessment. In other words, that's percolation and all of that.
Yeah,
and number three, a positive roads report. And that'll have to be complied with. But you see, where an awful lot of people were getting knocked in the first instance was, for instance, if you were a person living in Killarney and you wanted to live in Kilcommon or in Ahead Oh, well, you couldn't, because the answer was, oh, you're not from there. You're from a mile over the border. And same thing on the Ring of Kerry, whether it's Beaufort or any of these places, if it's not south, east or west, and indeed, of course, if we go back to the Gaeltacht thing, it was virtually impossible to get planning. So it's not going to be a free-for-all. And I heard the word being used today about trophy houses. My goodness, Jerry, you know the cost of building a house today. Young people, all they want to do is build a modest home to get themselves going, and maybe in the future they could put, as their family families again, please God, would grow. Maybe that they'd put extensions on, and you know, just to get out of the ground and get a place for themselves. But I really think, because as you know, Jerry, I always like to give credit to people who have common sense and who are working. And I want to particularly mention Minister James Brown and John Cummins, Minister. He's a minister in that department as well. Because in our many, many meetings that we had on this particular issue of trying to broaden it, it wasn't a case of, you know, knocking on a closed door or people with a closed mind. It was the exact opposite. Their attitude, since this government was formed, their attitude was, how can we do this? How can we do it right? How can we make sure that it'll be easier for young people to build on their own family-owned land? And again, just take away so much of the restrictive conditions that were there. And again, I want to come back to the local authority. We'll have to ensure then, of course, that the county development plan in County Kerry, because we'll specifically talk about County Kerry, that they will adopt their county development plan, the very hard-working members of Kerry County Council, and they'll adopt what will come to them from Dublin so that people on the ground will see the difference. And I think there's great credit going to those two people for what I'd call spearheading this and following it through to the bitter end of the today, that it is going before Cabinet and that the draft guidelines will go out. And if you take how this will be perceived in places like Kerry, it'll be very much welcomed. And of course, you will have new deniers saying, oh, there'll be too many houses in the countryside. That's nonsense. These people are willing to provide their own wastewater, sewerage system. The electricity is running around the county in rural areas anyway. And they're willing to borrow and spend their own hard-earned money to provide a roof over their own heads. And at the end of the day, as politicians, whether we're local or national, we should be doing everything to encourage it and to promote it in every way possible.
Okay. All right, Minister, our Deputy Michael Healy-Ray, thanks very much for joining us on the programme this morning. That's his view on the planning guidelines. The full details to come later on this morning. We'll have more about that on the programme tomorrow as well.